Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Hour of the Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the freeradio.com app. Your all-star Chris Middleton and Giannis Antetokounmpo back on the floor tonight against the Philadelphia 76ers. I'll be on with the Hall of Famer Sidney Moncrief after the game on the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, immediately following us tonight at 6 o'clock. Stay tuned for a special Hall of Fame finalist edition of a taped interview that Gary Ellerson had with Leroy Butler of the stages of Leroy's life, the stages of his career, a full in-depth look at what makes the Hall of Fame finalist and the trials and tribulations that went in to the career that Leroy had. It comes up once again at 6 o'clock tonight, 6 to 7, right here on The Fan. Also on The Fan, coming up tomorrow, we will also have more coverage, obviously, of the NBA trade deadline, as we always do here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. But it is being told to me that Kendrick Perkins will be on the air later on tomorrow. So stay tuned for that, for the programming note later on this week, for another one of our Radio.com Sports NBA Insiders. Our Radio.com Sports Insider, Ryan McDonough, will join us at 4:40 here, breaking down the NBA trade deadline. Also, our Milwaukee basketball insider, Eric Name, stops by in a half hour talking trade deadline and Bucks and Sixers with you right here on The Fan. Brian Anderson was with us a couple of days ago before he called Bucks and Pelicans, and he knew he had to ask about the Milwaukee Brewers, as the state of the Milwaukee Brewers is somewhat in flux, somewhat in limbo. You don't exactly know what to expect out of the Milwaukee Brewers coming up into this year. A lot of people hitting the panic button before they've even reached spring training. Now, they will be in Arizona coming up next week with pitchers and catchers reporting. But Brian Anderson's been around this team for more than a decade. What does he believe he's seen in the state of the Milwaukee Brewers after the 2020 free agency period?
I like what they've done. I'm kind of shocked at the blowback I'm hearing. I'm actually really encouraged by what they've done. I think they're better top to bottom than they've been in recent years, and they're flexible enough to go make moves, and I love what they've done. I actually texted David Stearns and Matt Arnold, I think around Christmas. I was just like, man, you guys are kicking butt. I'm really impressed with what they've done, payroll flexibility, the ability to go add, and you know, when you need pieces and you need to evaluate when the season starts, you need to be somewhat flexible to go add those pieces. And they're in that position, and yet they have, I think, the starting pitching situation is much more complete, and it feels broader and deeper. And then you're just hoping a couple of guys pop here, like Woodruff. You need somebody to pop into that ace role. Mm-hmm. You're hoping Woodruff. You're hoping a bounce back from Corbin Burns and those guys. But I like everything they've done. I'm not sure they're done yet, but I like what they've done. I've been really impressed with them, even though I know there's been some criticism that probably is just based on,
yeah, to say the least,
on payroll numbers.
Yeah, to say the least, there has been some blowback for what the Milwaukee Brewers have done in the losses that they had. They lose Mike Moustakas. They lose Yasmani Grandal. Moustakas stays in the division. But I like, Gary, what the one thing that he said in 414-799-1250. Do you agree with Brian Anderson on the state of the Milwaukee Brewers that maybe they're a little bit better top to bottom than they've been in years past? They lose Mike Moustakas, it hurts. They lose Yasmani Grandal, yes, it hurts. But when you do look at those big-time contracts, Gary, those dudes were coming off of career years, and it's so difficult to pay a guy after a career year and a contract year because you don't exactly know what the balance is going to be coming back. The Brewers definitely shed salary. They've definitely gone with more lottery tickets and one-year deals. But I lean in just smack dab right on the fence. But I do lean onto being more optimistic than most because I simply trust the group that puts the team together more than any other in baseball.
Let me just say this, and I would preface this by saying I like Brian Anderson a lot because I don't want any blowback
here. Mm-hmm.
Here's what they have, is a lot of unproven commodities. And so you have to understand what you have. And so it's a lot of if come maybes. So what is the upside? We don't know really a lot about any of these guys and what they can give you. You're just hoping that it can happen. I mean, this sounds crazy, but it was like you and Steve saying the Green Bay Packers were going to win 13 games, and they did. But if you look at the rationale of it, a new head coach, just so many new players, it
sure
didn't add up to 13 games. It just didn't. And then all of a sudden they won 13 games. It wasn't how you thought that they would win 13 games because it was you thought they would win on the back of Aaron Rodgers, and it was really more about their defense, and that's kind of how they lost it too. In this case, you can say that they're going to win 88 games or 90 games. I don't think you're going to go 90. Let's go 88.
Mm-hmm.
But you can just say that, but you look at their roster, there's no way that you're saying that that roster with those players are going to win 88 games unless you got some sort of hunch, and then you could be a homer and all that, and then no one's going to be mad at you for doing that. But these are what they have is a lot of if come maybe. Now, they've got something in the pitching rotation maybe a little bit. I mean, they've got some name recognition there. But you start position players, not a whole heck of a lot. And then you've got an aging Ryan Braun there. And they're not going to move in first base, I don't think, not full time. But, I mean, but you just don't have – and then you're hoping Christian Yelich is 100%, that there's nothing going to happen
sure
with that knee, and that he's going to be okay, and he's going to just pick up right where he left off. So to me, they have a lot of if-come maybes.
And that's
no name brand.
But sadly, that's the – well, they have the number one name brand in the National League.
And that's why I just said you've got a guy who shared his kneecap last year, and you're just hoping he's going to pick up right where he left off.
Yeah,
folks, you can just – baseball mm-hmm. is tricky. Like, it's some things can be very minor that are in your mind the reason why you're striking out so much. And then you got to try to go fix
sure it. Sure. I believe – now, you're also looking at a team that won 86 games last year, and it took an absolute momentous – one of
the last month,
historic September that they had. It was one of the best that this league has seen in a long time, and that made them a 89 win team last year.
Right.
You're looking at a group that I understand you lost two all-stars offensively. Yes, it's tough. You lost Trent Grisham. Maybe you don't see the improvement from within that could be coming from Lorenzo Cain, who had one of the worst years of his career last year. Ryan Braun stayed relatively healthy.
He was okay. I mean, for his batting average is pretty good.
Who?
Ryan Braun.
Ryan Braun. No, Ryan Braun had a good year last year.
It was a good year for him.
For a 36-year-old.
Yeah.
But you did. You had the worst year out of Lorenzo Cain's career. You only got half of a sample size from Keston Hira. You do have to look on the upside. You have to look at Ulysses Urias whenever he's actually able to play now with a broken hand. I'm not saying that they're going to win 90 games, but they're going to be much better than people want to give them credit for, primarily because of, I'll fall back on this, and you can say I'm a homer, you can say whatever you want. It leans, and sure, you can laugh at it, but this is what it is.
Well, no, I'm looking at, you can say I'm a homer if you want. That's my laugh.
Because I'm looking at the development curve that this organization has taken a lot of guys on. They've earned and made a lot of players a lot of money in the last 3 years because players come to Milwaukee, they've gotten better, and then gotten massive contracts.
Well, hey, and who is that?
Yasmani Grandal, Mike Moustakas.
Your Money Grandal had talent.
Sure, but he never put it together like he did last year.
But he had talent before he came here. And who did you replace him with?
You replaced him with Omar Narvaez, who's hit 280 in three of the last three Major League Baseball seasons.
Okay.
I mean,
and then who else? We're just going to
sure.
Moustakas.
Mike Moustakas
had talent.
That gets replaced by Keston Hira for a full season.
Before he came here. So a young guy that has a high ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
One would think he'd be the next Ryan Braun. We don't know, but that's what we're hoping. I think a lot of people are saying that.
Sure. But you're also looking at Mike Moustakas for 4 years out of his career, hit below 250. So, I mean, there's room for improvement. Are there glaring weaknesses in what they've done? Sure. You can look at the lack of a big-name starting pitcher, but your big-name starting pitcher happens to be your own, and that's Brandon Woodruff.
Right. That's your guy.
And Josh Hader. You have one of the better young starting pitchers and best reliever in mm-hmm. baseball coming back. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not in a position to be the LA Dodgers, no.
No.
But they are a better baseball team than I believe people are giving them credit for. I'm not leaning on to Brian Anderson and saying they're clearly better than they were last year, but I definitely believe they're much better than people do want to believe.
Okay.
414-799-1250. Ruben's on the south side. He's up on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, what's up, Ruben?
All right. Hey, Taush, how in the world can you say that they're even close? They've lost like 60 home runs between Thames, Moustakas, Grandal. We lost Davies, Nelson. I mean,
they replaced Zach Davies with a younger option that pitches from the left side, which they desperately, desperately needed.
Well, every team could use a nice left-hand pitcher, but I mean,
though, in the starting rotation. That's where I think that evens out better. I apologize for interrupting you, Ruben.
Oh, no problem. But I just don't understand how that we've lost like the 60 home runs there that we could even get better.
Well, do you believe that Keston Hira is going to get better?
I believe he may hit 20 home runs this year, yeah. But now
he hit 20 home runs in half a season last year.
Right, where are we going to get the other 40 from?
Well, no, Omar Narvaez hit 22 last year. I imagine he hits 22 to 25 this year, so that slices that in half.
Okay, Justin Smoke 17 to 18. So
I'll just say 20, that's 40. Go ahead.
Then Justin Smoke hit 20 last year as well. So
we freed up money. We freed up money, Taush, and I understand
I'm telling you where the home runs are coming from.
Right, but to keep up with the big dogs, I mean, now we're possibly maybe going to be fighting for a wild card spot.
And that's exactly where you were last year, though.
Well, like you said, the run that we went on was like kind of the run that the Colorado Rockies went on like 5-6 years ago when they
100%.
Won. Was it like 20 out of 23 games or something?
Mm-hmm.
That probably won't happen again. I'm sure you guys agree with me on that one.
Sure.
But, hey, I'm all for him. I mean, I wish him the best, just like everybody else here.
Right.
Appreciate it, Ruben. There's Jed Jerko, who's hit 15 to 20 home runs in his career. Omar Narvaez averages 20 home runs a year. Avisail Garcia has averaged 20 home runs a year. And then you put him into the short porch. That's where the numbers that the Milwaukee Brewers are coming out saying that their projections are going to keep them right about where they were. That's where it's coming from. That's all I'm explaining.
No, you're right about it because of where you're playing at. Your playground is short. I mean, you're going to hit a ton of home runs at Miller Park. You're supposed to. And especially if you're hitting from the left side. It's just automatic. It's just going to happen. And I get what you're saying, but you're trying to project out really at some unknown commodities, although they did hit those numbers, real numbers, somewhere else. And you're saying, man, they did that somewhere else. What are they going to do at Miller Park?
Yeah, why can't they even just do that at Miller Park?
Or better. That's what you're saying.
So, I mean, yes, the names are not what they were. They're not Mike Moustakas. They're not Yasmani Grandal.
No, those guys came at names, and you knew that they had talent.
But also having the flexibility, depending on where you are at the middle of July, you have more flexibility than you did last year with a $130 million payroll that you knew was not going to ultimately be sustainable.
Well, I'm excited. Let's go.
That's what I like to hear. 414-799-1250. Do you agree with Brian Anderson on the Milwaukee Brewers that they could be maybe a little top to bottom, maybe even a little bit better than they were last year? I'm not saying they're going to be better than they were
in
2019. I said it didn't work in 2017, didn't work in 2018. Didn't work in 2019.
But you were so close, though, Billy, to reshuffle the deck.
For 4 years.
But I get not signing the guys that they signed. I mean,
right.
I'm just telling you that. I understood that. Because I wouldn't have paid those guys that money
either.
It was
a lot of money that they were demanding.
You would overpay. So you had to do something.
And you had to try something new.
And when they did.
And I'm going to trust the guys that when they do something new, David Stearns has earned my trust in the years that he's been the general manager of this baseball team.
Well, let me tell you about something new, because I've got something new for all you folks out there, and it is the Wisconsin Indoor Golf Center.
Woo!
It really is.
Try a new spot. I'm going to be there Saturday. I want to celebrate Brock's birthday. And we're gonna, you know, they've got pizza there, folks. They've got wings. They got a full alcohol bar. Now, the boys are not gonna partake in the alcohol bar, but most certainly we are gonna have the pizza. I'm gonna partake a little bit. And most certainly I'm gonna have a driver. My boy Brocky boy just got his driver's license the other day, and last night we partaked a little bit at the Bosch last night. And he drove me to the Bosch, and Dad had a couple cocktails
at
the Bosch.
That is it.
And then drove Dad back home.
That is how it goes. Man. As Leroy Butler would say, look at God.
Man, ain't he great?
Becoming my dad's designated driver was one of my favorite moments.
You trying to tell me, man? And, you know, he wanted to do the look because we went down a wrong way going to the Bosch.
Whoops.
And he wants to, well, Dad, I can do a wide turn right here. I show you the wide turn. That's because you can't do a wide turn in the middle of the road. Turn in somebody's driveway right here.
Just pull it. Just turn back out.
Don't do a wide turn in the middle of the road, because you can't do that.
Don't try to do a kick. Go no-handed when you're just learning how to go 2 wheels.
Dad, do a wide turn. I'm going to show you I can do a wide turn. Not just pulling the driveway or back out. Make sure you look both ways. But I'm going to be at the Wisconsin Golf Center, and so should you guys. They've got the top of the art high definition golf simulators, including three new true golf simulators of more than 100 leading courses, in which I'll be playing Pebble Beach, Doral, Pinehurst, and others. As you swing away, we talk about the pizza, wings, and the full alcohol bar. And we know it's cold outside, guys. So come in, get your golf game on, get hyped up. For more details, check them out on Facebook or online at WisconsinIndoorGolfCenter.com.
Well, that was quick. The University of Wisconsin.
They fired him.
Badger officials. Eric Helland has stepped down, resigned from his position Thursday afternoon.
I mean, he said it.
So that sure feels like he said it with Kobe King. More on that story at 1057FMTheFan.com. But do you agree with Brian Anderson on your Milwaukee Brewers that they're right about where they need to be? More next on the Wendy's Big Show.
I like what they've done. I'm kind of shocked at the blowback I'm hearing. I'm actually really encouraged by what they've done. I think they're better top to bottom than they've been in recent years, and they're flexible enough to go make moves, and I love what they've done. I actually texted David Stearns and Matt Arnold, I think around Christmas, and I was just like, man, you guys are kicking butt. I'm really impressed with what they've done, payroll flexibility, the ability to go add, and you know, when you need pieces and you need to evaluate when the season starts, you need to be somewhat flexible to go add those pieces, and they're in that position, and yet they have, I think, the starting pitching situation is much more complete, and it feels broader and deeper.
That's for sure. It's definitely a deeper team with different names. Not the frontline guys like you look at of a Mike Moustakas, who's hit 30 home runs in his career. Not Yasmani Grandal, who's been an all-star in another place, but hey, Omar Narvaez, that's my boy, 27 years old, hit 20 home runs everywhere he's gone, .278 last year as a batting average, and driving some runs, and it's not going to be the sexy name brands that you've seen in quite some time for the Milwaukee Brewers, but 414-799-1250, do you agree with Brian Anderson that they can be better than most people are saying right off of the bat? I'm not saying this team's going to win 90-some games, win the division, and just blow through the LA Dodgers, but what I do know is I trust David Stearns and Craig Counsell more than anybody else in the National League. Craig Counsell, the longest tenured manager in the National League. And I think they deserve the opportunity to see what they can do with this group. Brett Anderson, starting pitcher from the left side, he will join in the starting rotation, most likely Adrian Hauser, who had a really, really good close to last year. Eric Lauer will be in that starting rotation, has pitched over 200 innings each of the last 2 years. Peers like Josh Lindblom will be in that starting rotation as well. He was the Korean Baseball League MVP last year. So there we go. But then my boy Brandon Woodruff is the headliner. So you got a couple of name brands. And also, Gary, one other name that is going to be so vital to this and how they're able to piece together the pitching staff and the pitching rotation is going to come back down to Corbin Burnes and Freddie Peralta. Last year, everybody looked at Corbin Burns, and many to the chagrin, he gave up 11 home runs in his first four starts and never returned to the starting rotation. So there's opportunities for improvement elsewhere. But last year, you dealt with a lot of, should I say, declining performance? I mean, only Freddie Peralta and Corbin Burns, they're not the only ones in that group. Also, Lorenzo Cain had one of his worst years of his career. So there's ups and downs in a Major League Baseball season. Orlando Arcia still hasn't found his stroke, and I don't necessarily know if he will. But they're at least bringing in more competition that it's not only going to be reliant upon the name brand guys that you saw last year.
Well, yeah, I mean, because that's the rub there, though, Billy, whether you like it or not. No one knows what these guys are going to do. I mean, you project out and you're hoping that you find like a Travis Shaw or, you know those
big time.
Jesus
Aguilar.
I mean, you're hoping that that's what you find, and you look at the guy's numbers and you're hoping that this is what they did somewhere else and they should do even better at Miller Park. So maybe they hit 15 home runs at Miller Park and another 6 or 7, 8 on the road or something, and they exceed the numbers that they had last year. So that's what you're hoping. I mean, everything adds up to be a 500 baseball club, though. That's what it adds up to be.
But the thing is, and I know this is difficult to hear, that is so much better than what we are used to in this town for a long, long, long time. And the one other thing that I don't want to have happen, and it's natural, it happens
what
in
is that,
all
Billy?
Sports, that this regime gets blamed for the failures of a previous one.
Oh, sure they do.
That's the most frustrating part of sports to me.
They get dumped on, they get added on to, because it's been so bad for so long.
And do not say that the conversations that Mark Attanasio has are the same ones that Wendy Seelig had just because they're owning the same baseball team. They own the same franchise. It's different decision makers. It's different people at the top. And from what they have done and from what you have seen, what have they done to show incompetence? What have they shown to lose your trust in them? I'm not saying you have to sit down here and bow at the knees of it, right? Mm-hmm. It was always in Ted Thompson we trust, right, with the Green Bay Packers.
For a long
until he lost that trust. Right. Allow them the opportunity to lose that trust. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
At least give them the opportunity to make you feel dumb.
I get down with that. Yes.
And maybe that's not the best way to go about
it. And really, all you have to go on right now is really winning baseball. I mean, really, if you think about it.
They've won
everything they've done. They flipped the script and turned it on you. But I think people now are hungry for more. They're no longer satisfied being wild card and just getting in.
True.
Brewer fans are now looking for a World Series.
414-799-1250.
Or at least be in that game.
Right, and at least be right there for an opportunity added. And that's not... there's no fault in that. You should not feel bad for wanting to win. I also want to win as a Milwaukee Brewers fan, and I think that they're going to surprise some people. They're not going to lose 100 games. They're not going to lose 95 games. Could they win 90? Well, like maybe if Keston here is the best player in all of baseball. We're going to hear from Eric Name coming up here at 3:30. John Johnson of WIP 76ers Insider joins us at 3:48 as there's a huge game between the Bucks and 76ers tonight at Fiserv Forum. But just how big of a game is this for you? We'll ask you that question coming up at 4 o'clock. Ryan McDonough, Radio.com Sports NBA Insider and former Phoenix Suns GM, stops by at 4:40. Wrap up the trade deadline with us and also with you. If you missed any of it, Andre Iguodala signs a two-year deal, a $30 million extension after he's acquired by the Miami Heat, along with Jay Crowder, teaming up with his former Marquette teammate in Jimmy Butler. They do not, them being the Miami Heat, make the deal, though, for Danilo Gallinari that was first reported last night. He stays with the Oklahoma City Thunder. So, moves across the docket, mostly though in the Western Conference, the biggest one earlier today. D'Angelo Russell, Amari Spellman, and Jacob Evans on their way from Golden State to the Minnesota Timberwolves in exchange for Andrew Wiggins, former number one overall pick, 2021 protected first round pick, a 2022 second round pick. One other former Milwaukee Buck has been traded. We told you about John Henson. We told you about Brandon Knight being moved along with a pick for Andre Drummond to the Detroit Pistons, but Gary Ellerson, one other Milwaukee Buck being traded. Hawks trade our old friend Jabari Parker alongside Alex Len last night to the Sacramento Kings for Dwayne Dedmon and 2 second-round picks.
Okay.
So you've seen the first and second overall selections from that draft be traded in the same day.
Mm.
That's difficult
That's
to
crazy.
See, man. That's crazy.
Well, I mean, we know about Jabari. I mean, those knee injuries, whether you like it or not, took a toll on his career.
And I just still remember sitting there saying, do I want Andrew Wiggins? I know I don't want Joel Embiid. Mm-hmm. And he's the only one that's still with the team that, drafted him after today. Statement out from the UW Athletics Department, Eric Hallett, Director of Sports or Strength and Conditioning at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, resigning today from his position after allegations of reports saying that he used a racial adjective towards Kobe King, that being the reason why, as King has did not cite publicly, but citing the reason why Kobe King decided to leave the program a couple of days ago. UW Athletics confirmed that assertion on Sunday. UW Athletics works to promote a safe and welcoming environment from their statement right now for its student athletes and staff. And the aforementioned language used does not align with the values of our athletic department, men's basketball program, or the university. If Helen was placed on administrative leave on Monday, did not travel with the Badger team to Minnesota last night for the game. If it doesn't align with your university, then just fire the guy.
Right. They should.
Just fire the guy. Don't allow him to resign. Mm-hmm. If that's the situation and you believe it to be true, or you have any inclination that it is true, then you fire him. You do not have allow him the opportunity to clear his name by resigning the position. That's stupid. Frustrating to me. Absolutely frustrating. Eric Names up here next on the Wendy's Big Show. 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com app. Tonight at 6, a Hall of Fame special with Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler that you do not want to miss. But up next, our guy Eric Names is on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Part of it, the physicality side of things, we gotta step that up. It comes with experience, also just comes with personality. I mean, you guys just gotta step up and be more physical. We were soft.
Ben, you mentioned the physicality. I mean, you guys are a very tall, big team. Why can you pinpoint why you haven't been able
soft,
to?
Though. We were soft.
Well, that's a pretty clear answer. That's Ben Simmons. Saying why his team was able to get out-rebounded. The 76ers come into Fiserv Forum tonight. A little bit different 76ers team, maybe not personnel-wise, as they trade James Ennis earlier today at the NBA trade deadline, but definitely a sliding team that comes into Fiserv Forum tonight. The Philadelphia 76ers needing a W against the Milwaukee Bucks, but do the Milwaukee Bucks need one even more? 43-7. Hard to say that they need any win, but we'll hear from Eric Name, our Milwaukee basketball insider, joins us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline here on the Wendy's Big Show. Eric, how big of a game is this tonight after the Bucks? The only other time they've seen Philadelphia was, I mean, I don't know how many people are going to argue, their worst game of the season.
Name? He's not there.
It appears that Eric Name is not there on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. We'll check and see if we can get Eric Name back here on 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com. I believe he was there, but apparently not. The Milwaukee Bucks, though, as they've won, I believe, 10 of their last 11 games. Now we talk with Eric Name on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Eric, how big of a game is this for the Milwaukee Bucks tonight, welcoming in the 76ers?
Yeah, I mean, you know I don't often believe in the notion that you can really have a big regular season game, but earlier today we talked to Wesley Matthews a little bit, and you know, we talked about, oh, you know, the last time you played the Sixers team, you guys really struggled in that game, you know, kind of what do you do to avoid that? And he is like, well, you mean we got our, I'll say butts, he said the other word,
thank
kicked,
you
right. Mm-hmm. He's like, that's what you're talking about, that we got our butts kicked in Philadelphia? And the reporter said, yeah. And he said, okay, well, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. And then he answered the question. So I would say this game means a little bit to them. I think they remember that game. And, you know, last year there was, like, the loss to the Phoenix Suns earlier in the year. It was like a loss that Bucks fans freaked out about. But in the locker room, they didn't care. Like, it's the Suns. What do we care if the Suns beat us? And obviously, they lost to the Suns again later in the season. So, like, I think this Sixers team is actually a team where it's like, you know what? They beat us. Embiid likes to talk junk. That whole team kind of does a lot of that stuff where, you know, I think in some ways that Sixers team can be a bit front-runnery, where You know, if they get a lead, they're at home, they feel good about themselves, they start talking junk, they hit some threes, then they really let you know about it. But on the road, they've been terrible this entire season. So I think the Bucks are going to be looking for some retribution tonight. And so whether or not that makes it big, I don't know, but I do think this is a game that they actually care about, and I do think they want to make a statement to the Sixers team and let them know, like, hey, you got us at home, we're going to get you just as good at home, and then the other few times we play you this year, we're going to take it to you as well.
I like that front runnery.
I like that style, too.
Yeah, I like the word name, put that together, like that front runnery. We were also talking about names today, the Miami Heat and the trades that were made. And it just looked like the Heat tried to make a trade to make a run at the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, I think when you look at what was done this trade deadline, everyone knew that they were trying to catch the Bucks, and everyone knew that they were trying to beat the Bucks. Like, I think that's really as simple as I think this entire trade deadline kind of is. Like, even if you look at what the Clippers did on the other side, like, Marcus Morris is someone that's defended Giannis well in the past, someone that gives them another physical presence for wings. Like, that is what everyone was doing. You know, whether it was the Sixers going out and grabbing two wings from the Warriors that, you know, guys that played well for the Warriors, but the Warriors were the worst team in the league, and, you know, those guys probably won't play as well as they do in Philadelphia as they did with the Golden State Warriors. So, like, they were after that. The Heat in training for Iguodala. Iguodala is a guy that's gone toe-to-toe with LeBron James, and I think Giannis is the most comparable player to Giannis is probably LeBron. So I think you're kind of putting that in there as well that, hey, you need more size on the wing, you need more defense on the wing, you need guys that can really help put a wall up against this Bucks team, and I think that's kind of where you get the trade that the Heat made. And then, you know, you throw in the other guys too, Jay Crowder, Solomon Hill, like, you're looking at a bunch of guys that can play on the wing and build a formidable wall against the Bucks. Like, this to me was, I don't know if we needed any proof, but if you needed more proof for who the whole league believes is the best team out there, like, this was proof of it. It's the Bucks, and everyone is chasing them right now.
Our Milwaukee basketball insider, Eric Name, Eric_Name, NEHM, how you follow his coverage of the Milwaukee Bucks on Twitter, joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, 105.7 FM. The Fan. Eric, what's the reaction from your readers as to the Bucks staying patient at the trade deadline?
I think most everyone, you know, when I started writing trade deadline stuff a couple weeks ago, the comments at The Athletic were full of people saying, well, why are you even writing this? Like, the Bucks shouldn't do anything. Yeah. Like, you're on pace to win 70 games, be the third team in NBA history to do so. Why would you even think about ruining the chemistry, breaking up anything that you have going? Like, you're on pace to be the team that takes home the Larry O'Brien Trophy at the end of the season. So why would you think of messing it up? And I mean, my obvious answer is, well, you can always be better. No, like, no matter how good you are, you can always be better. So that was my immediate answer. But, you know, as far as the Bucks not doing anything today, I think all of their feedback to me in the process leading up to it would tell you exactly how they feel. Like, that is, to me, the reaction of many is, you got a good thing going, don't screw it up. And like, I know for a fact John Horst is on the phones all day long. There's, you know, whispers of what he was doing, what they were trying to do. You know, nothing significant enough to report, but like, they were working the phones all day long. They were trying to get better, but in the end, they didn't find the right deal. They didn't find the right trade partner and couldn't get something done. But I don't think, to me, there's going to be a ton of fans out there really upset that they didn't do anything.
And I'm okay with that they didn't do anything, because right now, do you remember, we're not getting any more pushback on the Chris Middleton contract, are we? Because there was a lot of pushback in the beginning, but you can see why they paid Chris Middleton. I mean, he works with Giannis. The team is better with them. I mean, are you getting any more pushback from now, or has that calmed down?
I mean, the only pushback that remains is everyone saying, well, let's see what he does in the playoffs, which is like I get it. That's what people want to say. But if you want to say, let's see what he does in the playoffs, May I refer you to the Celtics series 2 years ago?
Right.
Where he absolutely destroyed the Boston Celtics. May I refer you to last year's series against the Boston Celtics where he destroyed the Celtics? May I refer you to last year's series against the Pistons where he destroyed the Pistons? And then would I would still refer you to the Eastern Conference Finals where the Toronto Raptors double-teamed Chris Middleton when he was touching the ball because he was one of the only guys that was a threat to the Bucks. And like, so I get what people are saying. Let's see him do it in the playoffs, and that's going to stick with Chris until the Bucks win a championship. So I understand that comes with the territory. But, yeah, it's gotten awfully quiet, G. Like, there's not a lot of people that are in my mentions anymore about Chris Middleton not being good enough. And, I mean, I think that's a credit to Chris Middleton. I think it's a credit to Mike Budenholzer. Those two, I think, had some struggles last year as they tried to figure out how Chris fits in Bud's system. And Bud made some concessions over the summer and essentially let Chris do some of the stuff that Chris really likes to do, where he's taking more mid-range jumpers. And he's getting those shots where he gets his back to the basket and gets a guy that's smaller than him on him and just does whatever he wants. He's getting the threes. He's getting the free throws. He's making some plays. He's getting assists. Like, Chris is playing the best basketball of his life. So it's pretty hard to criticize him when he's doing that.
Well, let me ask you this also. If you look out west, did the Clippers surpass the Lakers? Or did you already have the Clippers in front of the Lakers?
Yeah, I like that Clippers team more than I like that Lakers team. And why I feel that way is I think that Clippers team already had more shooting. When you watch the Bucks play the Lakers, the floor got really small for that Lakers team. Like, they just don't have enough shooters there where you're going to have Brooke Lopez right by the rim, you're going to have Giannis right by the rim, and that's how the Lakers score. That game was strength on strength. The Lakers score at the rim more than they shoot threes. The Bucks are the best rim-protecting team in the entire league. And it was clear that night that the Bucks' strength at the rim was better than the Lakers' strength at the rim offensively. So I thought that Clippers team is more fearsome just because Kawhi Leonard can kind of do what he does. Like, he can get hot from the mid-range. He can find ways to beat you there. Paul George can beat you from the three-point line. So I've always had the Clippers ahead, and today was helpful for them. I think the big thing with them is they still have Zubats as their starting center, which I don't think you can play against the Bucks. The Bucks played him off the floor the last time they played. So they can go small, but they've kind of assembled a team where they can go small more effectively by adding a guy like Marcus Morris today.
Eric Name joining us here on the Wendy's Big Show. Eric, now the deadline for the trade deadline is over. Now it opens into buyout season. What position possibly could the Bucks look at in that market?
Yeah, I mean, I think that going into the trade deadline this last week, I was kind of thinking Jay Crowder would be an interesting name. Obviously, Jay Crowder was one of the guys that got traded from Memphis to Miami, and obviously the Heat aren't going to buy him out because he's a useful 3-and-D wing. So that was the name I was thinking about. The other one that I kind of think about now is Marvin Williams. He's owed a whole bunch of money by the Hornets, and there might just be a spot where they say, you know what, we'll buy you out because we think you deserve the opportunity to go play for a playoff team rather than for this sorry Charlotte Hornets team right now. So maybe there's a chance that he gets bought out, and that is a name that I think is interesting to me. But ultimately, you know, the one thing I like to remind people is that there's a lot made of the buyout market, but buyout market players rarely help all that much. They're just going to be guys that, you know, fill out the end of the roster. And especially for this Bucks team, it's going to be tough for a buyout guy to find playing time.
Mm-hmm.
This team is so deep, and all of their, you know, 7 through 13 on this roster are so good that there's just not a lot of opportunity here. Like, if, for example, if you take the trade that the Sixers made for Glenn Robinson III and for Alec Burks, those two dudes would struggle to find playing time in the Bucks. Like, they probably would ultimately slot into, like, Pat Connaughton's spot or, like, DJ Wilson. Like, they would move up above those, but ultimately, they wouldn't have a defined role here in Milwaukee. And for buyout guys, they're often on the market looking for a chance to win a ring,
mm-hmm,
and a chance to prove themselves and get themselves another contract. The Bucks can definitely offer the ring part. That is undeniable. But there's not a lot of opportunity to be had here in Milwaukee.
Sure.
There's not a lot of guys that can say, you know what, I for sure would get playing time on the Milwaukee Bucks. It's going to be a fight for any of those guys, and that is not super appealing to buyout guys. So last year you saw the Bucks use the buyout market to get Pau Gasol. And Pau Gasol was pretty much brought in for, hey, if we need to play the Sixers, we need another big guy, you can go up against Joel Embiid, and that will help us out with our bench units. But ultimately, Pau Gasol got hurt, didn't really play for the Bucks, only played one game for the Bucks, and then ended up retiring after that. So those are more realistic type people for the buyout market for the Bucks than, you know, a real impact, like a real impactful difference maker, because those guys are going to go where there's opportunity. And in Milwaukee, there's not a ton of opportunity for guys that are just rotation players and not very clear starters.
Eric, appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll talk next week, Thursday, 4:48, usually our regular time with Eric Name. Appreciate you being flexible today with the trade deadline.
No problem. I look forward to it, fellas.
Take it easy, man. Buddy. That's Eric Name joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Gotta love Eric Name.
Remember, he was an intern here.
See, I was not here even when that happened. Back in the day.
There's hope for all you guys.
Somehow.
For Plucker. I mean, there's hope for, you know, all you guys, you know, become Eric Name. You know,
if I would become Eric Name, I would break any goals that I ever had.
Josh Vernier, you know,
sure.
All you guys, you know?
Right?
I'm not going anywhere. This is it.
You're locked in right here.
I'm locked in. This is it, right?
That's
here.
What I'd like to hear.
I don't want to do nothing else. This is it. Hopefully, they let me stay for another 5-6 more years. I just, you know, this is it.
Eric Name joins us on the Great Midwest Bank.
Right here in this chair, right there. This chair.
Well, they did take your microphone, but they replaced it, though.
Steve came in here yesterday and fixed it. I mean, but it looks like it's in the resting position right now. So
it's on the DL. Give it 10-day injured list, and we'll figure out what it goes on.
It's only 10-dayer.
Yeah, that's all right.
I appreciate them bringing my mic back in, because I like to sit back a little bit more, and normally Bill Michaels talk out of this mic right here.
And spits on it and stuff like that.
I mean, a lot of people spit on it.
Right, 100%.
But this one way in the back, not a lot of people use that one way in the back, so they don't spit on it as much, so it's got a lot of my spit on it. But I appreciate Steve, and was it Chris Tarr?
Yes. Chris Tarr, engineer here, helping us out.
Maybe
appreciate
getting that up and going for me.
Great work, guys.
Sure, we got great people.
John Johnson of WIP in Philadelphia on the radio.com app joins us next. Philadelphia 76ers Insider is with us on the Wendy's Big Show. Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com app. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, alongside Gary Ellerson, former Badger and Packer running back. You can find 94WIP on that radio.com app if you want to listen to some Philadelphia 76ers conversation. Maybe see if Chris Bryant's going to the Philadelphia Phillies, or maybe you just love Doug Peterson and the Philadelphia Eagles. Instead, we are excited to welcome on here from WIP, 94WIP on the radio.com app, John Johnson, 76ers insider for them at WIP here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM. The Fan. John, appreciate the time tonight.
No, not a problem at all.
Huge game for the Milwaukee Bucks on this side, because last time these two clubs met up on Christmas Day, as I know you were obviously probably there, the Bucks get their tails kicked. And Wesley Matthews earlier today saying, yeah, we remember that one, but the Philadelphia 76ers appear to have their own issues in their own house right now.
Oh, boy, do they. Their road issues are, boy, well-documented is an understatement. It's no longer a trend. It's become the norm. They're 9-18 on the road. It's abysmal. And now we have, you know, Al Horford's come out and talked about how they're trying to deal with it in the locker room. But the fact that he said it to the media certainly stirred up a lot. Josh Richardson, I'm sure we're going to get into some of this. You have a player who's a first year with the team trying to hold a players-only meeting rather than the team veterans. I mean, there's a lot of issues right now. And, you know, for 76ers and their fans, tonight's game means a whole lot for them.
So, I mean, I don't understand it, though. I mean, what the hell's going on? I mean, you bring in Horford. I mean, you lose Jimmy Butler. You thought you'd be better from a chemistry standpoint and just on those two moves. But I don't understand why there's dissension. I know that the home record is pretty good and not very good on the road, but I don't understand what the issue is.
Well, it is, as you know, with each game or each day, we're finding out a little bit more and more and kind of connecting the dots. I mean, on the road, one of their issues is, and it, you're right, it is fascinating. I mean, they're 22-2 at home. How can they? How can the despair between those two be so incredibly polar opposites? We're finding out that, you know, a lot of this roster, because they're young, the professional maturity lacks. And so when they're on the road, the dedication doesn't seem to be totally there. The time in the film room doesn't seem to be totally there. And in some cases, it certainly appears like they feel like they can just show up somewhere on game day and kind of put it together and win a game. And clearly that's not the case. And then you have their two cornerstone pieces in Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, who Embiid, if the offense is not running through him, if he doesn't have the ball in his hands for a percentage of the plays, he starts to check out mentally. And he doesn't just check out on offense. He checks out on defense. And it becomes so plainly obvious when you're watching the game. And then, of course, there's Ben Simmons, who the hustle is there. The defense is absolutely there. But his unwillingness to shoot the ball just totally messes up the flow of the offense at times when he and Embiid share the floor together.
John Johnson, WIP, is where you follow him on Twitter. He's a 76ers insider for Sports Radio WIP in Philadelphia. John, this tweet that you had about an hour ago, I just think is so telling about the drama going on. Al Horford remarked about turmoil. Josh Richardson reportedly led a players-only meeting. Joel Embiid said the team needs to sacrifice. Brett Brown is standing on the edge of the plank. How close to a decision on the head coach could the 76ers be?
This is where it gets, it's almost like a judgment call, because there's only 31 games left in the season. There's so many risks you take if you decide, all right, enough's enough, Brett Brown has to go. You're putting yourself out there saying, well, potentially the season could be over, because you don't know how the players are going to react to this, because it'll be someone on the staff that'll take over on the interim, you assume.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So players could check out and say, all right, well, let's see how this plays out, and whatever happens, they fired the head coach. Or it could galvanize them and say, oh, my God, they fired Brett. You really don't know. Because there's 31 games left, in my opinion, you ride it out. You see, you hope that at some point, you know, something clicks, they get it, and you see where, you know, how far it takes you. But, you know, before the season started, Brett Brown said to us, 60 wins, the first seed. Joel Embiid said to us, 60 wins, the first seed. Well, it's obviously the way Milwaukee is playing, which is just far and above everybody else. There's no chance they'll get that. So, I mean, it's a very confusing time for the 76ers and their fans.
What's the viewpoint of the Milwaukee Bucks from where you guys see it in Philadelphia?
Oh, they are hands down the best in the conference. They should, you know, with the way the West. I mean, the West is just full of talent, as much as that conference always is. But, you know, the view is, although they knew how to handle Giannis on Christmas, and just whether it was Simmons playing him very well or Horford at times, or just standing there 6 feet from the net and forcing him to, you know, just let him say, go ahead, you want to shoot threes? Go ahead, have a blast. We'll live and die on that. The view is that Giannis has grown to, I mean, he's a monster. I mean, he is an absolute mm-hmm. monster. You read the stats, and they tell you one thing, and then you watch him, you're like, my God, he's even better than the stats tell you. So, I mean, the view is that there's no chance the 76ers are going to catch Milwaukee. The projection prior to the season, as you guys probably know, it was Sixers and Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference Finals. That was the projection. That's who the two teams would be. But right now, from a Sixers standpoint, it's can we even get to the Eastern Conference Finals? You know, and that's if they don't fire the head coach. Where it seems to be, you know, a certainty that Milwaukee, you know, barring injury, will represent the conference in the NBA Finals.
In your opinion, is Giannis the best player in the NBA today?
Yes. Yes, he is. Granted, you know, he's not perfect. His game lacks at certain aspects. In the conference, no doubt about it, I think he is the best. In the game, this is where...
Yeah, in the game today. Go ahead.
I mean, I'm second guessing myself in this conversation. I mean,
go ahead.
You know, when you have, I mean, we all know we've seen what Kawhi Leonard can do.
Right.
And when he's peak Kawhi, I mean, doesn't matter what you throw at him, he's unstoppable.
Correct.
Giannis, I guess we need to see more of it in the playoffs. We've seen tastes of what he can do last year, but I mean, until you can do the kind of stuff that Kawhi did, that LeBron did at peak LeBron. maybe he's still below Kawhi, but in the conference, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. He's the best.
All right, well, we'll take it back then. So I ask you again, now that you walked through it yourself, maybe you talked yourself out of it, who is the best player in the NBA today, according to you?
Ooh, the best player in the NBA, when they are healthy, that's a very tough question. I keep saying Kawhi over and over and over again, so he's certainly going to be in the conversation.
Sure.
I would definitely I'd have to put a list in front of me of five or six names and then break it down based on
it's Kawhi, Giannis, LeBron, right? I mean,
yeah, those are your three. Off the top of your head, of course, those are going to be your three.
Right? But then you just got to pick one from that. I won't hold you against. I'm not going to. Because we're actually doing that topic here today. And you know, listen, okay. Of course, we're in Milwaukee and everybody's going to say Giannis, but it just feels like on the outside of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, a lot of people are saying Kawhi and LeBron. That's what we're getting.
I would agree with that. I would say it's either Kawhi or LeBron, and Giannis would be third.
Yeah.
So if you want to do a coin flip between those two L.A. players, that's fine. But I think Giannis would be third behind the two.
Thank you very much.
What are the feelings on Joel Embiid, John? Final couple of minutes. We appreciate the time today. What are the overwhelming feelings of your guys' listeners on Joel Embiid?
It's almost been a 180 on Joel this season. He, you know, from the moment they drafted him and I watched him rehab, you know, I praised in front of a microphone, a rooftop, anybody who would ask, you know, how this guy is unbelievable. You know, his talent is incredible for the size that he is. He presents a skill set that very few in NBA history has. And, you know, Sixers fans have seen many moments of that when he's peak Joel Embiid. But this season, he has turned, especially in recent weeks, from what I just talked about to a very selfish individual at times, a very whiny player at times, to where he's only looking inward and pouts on the floor when he doesn't get the ball. You can see it physically, his mannerisms. He pouts and then he checks out on plays. So although Sixers fans realize that they go as far as he will take them, he's not very well liked in Philadelphia right now because of how he's been this season.
It's amazing to look at here in the last 24 hours. You just have that about Joel Embiid. He's the only guy in the top three of that draft class still with the team that drafted him as Andrew Wiggins gets traded away from Minnesota today and Jabari Parker traded. Now he's going to be on his fourth team here coming up. John, appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk soon.
See you guys.
Thanks, John.
Man. That's John Johnson from WIP, Sports Radio WIP in Philadelphia here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Has your passion outgrown your home?
No.
The Great Midwest Bank Home Renovation Loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. That was a telling answer.
Yeah. But that's how I thought. It's here in Milwaukee, everyone will say Giannis. And then outside, I think it's the other two. But then you look inside, and the 76ers are imploding inside.
But immediately he did say Giannis. So you're going to get that answer a lot of times.
Right. But he hasn't done enough. Because, both of those two guys have rings. And one guy in Kawhi walked right through Giannis in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay.
Right?
I mean, he was down 2-0. I mean, you can't say he walked right through him.
Well, when he had to get it done.
Okay.
They walked, he didn't do it by himself, but it kind of felt like he walked right through Giannis when they needed to get 7-1. They're right. They were down 2-0. And that being down 2-0, dude, they came right back, and that was awful. I mean,
the Bucks were in a double overtime game that they definitely should have won in game three, and the series is over.
Then it's done. And they walk right back.
So I don't like the word walk through them. I mean, that sounds like it was a layover.
No, reason why I say you're taking it in a different way. They walk through them to win how many games in a row?
To win the four games.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they walk through them to do that. And there was nothing going to be done about it. You're very passionate about your home team, I understand.
No, I'm just saying. I don't like the verbiage, but it's fine. I get it.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Okay.
They walked through them, and then there's nothing they could do about it. Unless, hopefully, this time, you won't even see them because the joke is over in the West. But if they're in a championship game, that doesn't happen again.
I mean,
that was just awful. I mean, how many games did they win in a row to win it?
They won four in a row.
Yeah, that's tough.
Got it. Bofrating Beer, a premium quality beer due to its superior ingredients. Only 100% natural barley, the freshest hops, and the freshest spring water used in the production of Bofrating Beer. Over 250 years of family-owned brewery experience. That's right, guys. Bofrating Beer, family-owned since 1764 in the country of Luxembourg. And ever since then, they've been crafting their brews to achieve the pinnacle of drinkability and smoothness. Everything in the crisp Pilsner, the smooth triple, or the perfectly balanced Brune, the entire lineup, really. It doesn't fill you up, but gives you a full flavor. Guys, a little secret about Bofrating Beer. Here's a little one. All these other imports that you're drinking, I'm not trying to throw them under the bus, but they're all sellouts. They're owned by gigantic corporations. They're made in mass quantities. Bofrating's made in small batches with a personal family touch. Try some today, more places than ever before. A six-pack of Total Wine and More, Festival Foods, or any Otto's location as well. It's also on tap at Cafe Hollander, the Nomad, or Revere's in Delafield. Try a Bofrating today. Or actually, tomorrow's probably the best time. Festival Foods right over here in Hale's Corners from 5 to 7 on Friday. Guys, 5 to 7, absolutely free opportunity to test out Bofrating Beer or visit Piggly Wiggly. If you can't make it to Hale's Corners on Friday, Watertown at the Piggly Wiggly in Watertown Saturday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Drinking the Bop with us, Milwaukee's favorite smooth drinking import.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.